Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Happy Friday to everybody. Week 23 of 50. Imperfect. The session plus scoreboard check, part 2. It's around 1 a.m. on Friday, June 4th. The 7 seed Los Angeles Lakers got eliminated by the 2 seed Phoenix Suns a few hours ago. And ever since then, I've been bombarded on my Twitter timeline and just by the people all around me by LeBron hate. Best night of a lot of people's lives, it seems. Not mine. I accept LeBron's flaws, his immature body language sometimes. I get it. I'm imperfect too. It sucks, but we can't all be perfect, I guess. Anyways, I'm approximately 2 hours into a poker session at the Venetian, and I'm stuck in an amazing game. Not stuck like I can't leave. I can leave if I want to, but that'd probably be a mistake because the game's so good. Rather, I'm stuck like the chip runner isn't going to need to do any cardio after their shift. They can go ahead and skip the gym on this night, thanks to me. Okay, back to the session review. The next note, and hopefully you listened to part one already. It just makes sense to listen to part one before part two. But the next note is I open queen 10 offsuit to $30. So we got a straddle game. We got 3, 5, 10, and mostly, you know, some people ain't going to put the 10 on, but I'm not going to sweat it too much. Most of us will. And the guy that reminds me of Wine Gardens calls. And now boyfriend number 2 goes all in. And just, you know, to recap, I started this session in 1-3 where there was a young Asian guy and a young, really young Asian woman and who appeared to be his girlfriend. And he won a pot. Someone punted off $35 to him. And she celebrated like fist pumps. And I thought it was great. I mean, it was just innocent. You know, you can't do that in... It's gray, right? You can't do that in a big game. I mean, it would still be kind of funny. If it's innocent, it's funny, I think. I don't know. And, well, then she has been at my new game, too. Just sweating another young Asian guy. So she has 2 boyfriends. And I respect that. That's good. Anyways, her boyfriend number 2 goes all in. So I open at 30 with queen 10 offsuit in late position. And, you know, the guy that reminds me of Hawaiian Gardens, just a Vietnamese dude with a good vibe, calls on the button. And then he goes all in for 154 from the straddle. The boyfriend number 2 does. And I just call here with queen 10 offsuit. I think, you know, it's not a hand that I want to. I feel like it's a hand that might need to improve to win. So it's not a hand that I want to, you know, isolate. I don't want to shut out, you know, the guy that runs the HG. I have to bink, so let him in too. And I do. And we both call the 154. So we got a little over $450 in the pot. And the flop comes 8-5-3. And I check. And the guy, that you know, the cool Vietnamese dude, fires. And I fold. You know, dry side pot fires. And he had 8-3 offsuit, so he called my 30. I opened the cutoff to 30. He called with 8-3 offsuit on the button. He's real. And then the guy ships for 154. I have queen 10 offsuit. I'm not folding it against boyfriend number 2's all-in range here because he's punting and he's on tilt. And anyways, so I have enough equity to call. I don't need to go ahead and 4-bet isolate and get the guy from that reminds me of HG out because my hand needs to improve anyways. And I brought him in with 8-3 offsuit, and he actually got counterfeited. 8-5-3, and then it came like, whatever, like 10-5, and he still won. And so boyfriend number 2, not sure what he had, but he started complaining. And then, you know, this gentleman that reminds me of Hawaiian Garden explained to him that he had the right odds to call. He's correct. Okay. And then you know what time it is for me? It's money behind time. So you just it's just a reload, and it's an interesting way they do it at the Venetian. They put a green placard in front of you that says "Money Behind" in all caps, and it's like I'm a coach, like a coach that's pissed off making his players run laps or sprints. Well, that's what I'm doing with the chip runners, and I don't mean to. I want to win, but I'm losing on this night. I'm losing pot after pot after pot, and yeah, it's one of those nights. And then I flop a set with pocket deuces in a limp pot, and it comes ace, deuce, three, all spades. Okay, and we all check. I'm going to be check raising this flop. Well, we all check. And then the turn's an ace, and I check again, and someone bets small. And my image is fine for going for value, and I check raise small, and they snap fold. So they didn't have anything. So flopped a set, turned a boat, no one had shit, didn't win shit. It's good news, bad news. It's fine. And now a new guy opens the button to 40. And it's weak. There's something about it is weak, right? And I'm the straddle with 9-4 of spades. That's not a good hand, but it's the one they gave me, right? Well, now this guy, who's been very loose and passive, he calls the big blind, the 40. And I go to 160. And it's going to get through. The button is weak. I just know that. Maybe he's forceful, something. And he folds. And now the guy who just called the 40 goes all in for 360 total. And so he trapped me. Is it right? 200 more? No, it's more than that. 400 more. And I fold. And so he trapped me. I made it 160. And he trapped me and went all in. Now he has chirping chips, right? He won a nice pot by trapping the guy who squeezes a lot. It's going to happen sometimes. It doesn't happen a ton. I'm usually pretty, can anticipate that stuff. And I know when the game flow is right for me to do it. Maybe the game flow wasn't the best for me to squeeze. But when you know the guy who opened is going to fold and the other guy is just kind of a weak player, it's correct, I think. And it cost me $160. And now I'm getting 9-4 offsuit every hand. Okay, that's all right. And then I wrote something that's kind of interesting, maybe. I wrote, really, I'm not tilted. I just hate all human beings, and that's okay. And then I wrote, I'm not a pet person either. So maybe I was tilted. Maybe I was losing my mind. Even though I'd won 9 sessions in a row, as mentioned in the part one, I'm just so, so hungry to come up. And I think I'm ready. I'm going to use the rest of this year just to, like, tune up my game and try and work on my schedule to make it a little less busy, right? And if this podcast survives another season, which you'll find out if it's on pace to or not in a bit at the end of this drop, it's going to be more, it's just going to be all poker sessions next year. And I'll play, instead of playing 100 sessions in a year, I'll play 150 or more. And I'll be focused on playing bigger and going for it against, you know, everyone in this one game that I like my side in called No Limit Hold'em Live. Anyways, it's called Imperfect, week 23 for LeBron James, who's not perfect. And me being tilted here is not perfect at all. You want to be in games where people are horrible and you're going to run bad sometimes. And I've been running good for weeks and weeks leading up to this. I think I've won like 21 out of 22 sessions. I lost one where I played one-handed, 1-3. But not counting that, I think I've won like 21 out of 20. So I've been running hot, and I'm running horrible in this session. And it's got me so angry. But really, maybe what's got me more angry was all the hatred towards someone that's, you know, that is my favorite athlete of all time, not close. Has, like, provided an escape for me so many times when I've had, rough moments in my life. Just watching LeBron play is just, it's the ultimate escape. It's theater. It's you know, the passes that only he makes. And I don't know. But I was tilted. Well, I wrote, I'm really not tilted, but I was tilted. And now, oh, man. The guy who reminds me of Hawaiian Gardens, which I love Hawaiian Gardens when it was a tent. I can't really speak for it now that it's a building. I've played there a decent amount, but not like when it was a tent. He coolers me in some hand, and I pay him off. And he has a friend sweating him, and his friend's like, good shit, man, good shit. And they have like a handshake, and like they're celebrating, you know, 1 foot away from me. And I just wrote in my phone, it's definitely one of those motherfucking nights, right? So you get cooled by the guy who's really, the guy who called, you know, an all-in with 8-3 offsuit and whatnot. And on this night, I'm playing pretty standard, I think. I mean, I'm squeezing where other people don't, but I'm kind of playing readless, right? I'm kind of abandoning my reads in spots. I'm second guessing, and that's bad. That's, I don't think you can make it in live poker unless you're very perceptive. And basically, I'm just playing ranges and whatnot. I'm not being perceptive on this night. I'm worn out. I'm tired. I'm whatever. But it's just not good. Right. And I'm also running horrible, which is probably why you start second guessing yourself. I don't know. And then I wrote, boyfriend number two is going to be playing on Sundays on fourth downs. So hopefully you can figure out what that means. Open queen nine of spades to $30. This is a fucking funny hand, I think. Boyfriend number two calls and the replacement calls. And just to remind you, the replacement, when I sat down in this 3-5 game, there was a grinder, a young lady grinder, and she left. And that happens often. Grinders leave when I sit. And her replacement was this middle-aged white guy with his going-out shirt on. Awesome, right? It's a good swap. So boyfriend number two, who's really punting hard, calls, and he calls. And I have, you know, queen nine of spades. The flop comes queen deuce-deuce rainbow. I bet 30 into 90. Just to, you know, protect equity, get some value, whatever. The boyfriend goes to 75. Boyfriend number two, I should say. Her second boyfriend. And she's great. She's got a giant margarita, like tourist margarita, like those huge ones. She's got a giant men's shirt on. And she's just going back and forth from the 1-3 game where her first boyfriend is to this game where boyfriend number two is. And anyways, he goes to 75. So that's curious, right? I'm going to call, obviously. I have queen nine. It's queen deuce deuce. And this is red chip hell. And I mean that in a good way, kind of. And anyways, the replacement now goes to 150. Okay. And so, now what? Well, now I fold. Right? And boyfriend number two calls. Okay. And the turn is a deuce for queen, deuce, deuce, deuce. That's interesting. One of these guys should have had a deuce with all this action on the flop. And now boyfriend number two checks. And the replacement bets 100. And he calls. Boyfriend number two calls. The river's an ace, and it goes check, check. So just to recap this, I open queen nine of spades and to 30 in a 3-5-10 game. And boyfriend number two, who's a punter, calls. And the replacement calls. He's just awesome. He's got his goss on. And it comes queen, deuce, deuce, rainbow. Oh, finally, I'm going to win a pot. I bet 30 just to, you know, deny equity, get value, all those reasons we bet. And, well, I'm not bluffing. And boyfriend number two goes to 75, and he's just, I can't tell you how much this guy is punting. And I'm just going to call and call him down, right? And, well, now the replacement goes to 150. I got to fold my queen nine on queen deuce deuce. And boyfriend number two calls. The turn is a deuce for queen, deuce, deuce, deuce. And boyfriend check calls. Boyfriend two check calls 100. River's an ace, goes check, check. And boyfriend number two has pocket sevens that he raised the flop and called the three bet with. And the other guy, replacement had queen eight. Motherfuckers. I had the best hand. I folded it on the flop. I would have chopped. And I wrote, I hope the Chargers get this guy. Because special teams is an underrated part of the game, I believe. I don't know much about football, but I'm a Chargers fan, and I hope they get this kid. Okay. Now we got a 5-way bloater, and I have ace, six of spades. And the flop comes queen, 10, 9, all red. In other words, thanks, man. And thanks again for filling in for Cine. Me and Sangai really appreciate it. Okay, the next hand history of this session review is on the button straddle with ace, eight offsuit. And, you know, a bunch of people limp because that's what they do at this level. And so I 8x with ace, eight offsuit. Seems like the right number. And that means I go to 80 and only the replacement calls. But before he calls, he says something awesome, which is basically that he has a horrible hand and he's just gambling. That's nice. It's nice when people... This guy's great. I've liked him since he sat down. The flop comes king 5-5. I have ace 8. And I just reach for my chips. I want to bet something small and he folds before I can even bet. So you like that. That's nice, right? I needed to win that, you know, $100 in this pot. I did. Anyways, I open with ace queen. Oh, this is a good hand. This is a really good one. I open with ace queen because anyone does, right? $30. It's mainly 3-5-10. The cool Vietnamese dude who has a lot of heart, he calls, right? And the replacement calls. So we got 90 bucks in there. I have ace queen. Flop comes queen 8-4 with two diamonds. The replacement checks. I bet 50 into 90 with ace queen. The man that reminds me of Hawaiian Gardens calls and the replacement folds. So I have ace queens, queen 8-4, two diamonds. I bet a little over half pot. He called. The turn's an offsuit king and I check and he bets and I call. And the river is an X and I check and I knew he was super weak on the flop. So I'm not really worried about king queen. And, I know he's capable of bluffing, and this is how you induce a bluff. You check on the scare card or whatever. Anyways, the turn was a king. I check called, and the river was a break. I check called. And he had king nine offsuit. So he called my open with king nine offsuit. Okay. And then he called on queen 8-4 two-tone. He didn't even have a diamond. And he called with king nine when I bet over half pot, and he had another player behind. And then he just binked the king. So... You know, and I'm starting to think, wow, that's pretty unfortunate, right? And it is. You're 87% on the flop there against him, and he binks right away, and it's good for him. And I wrote, fuck. I don't know. That's what I wrote in my... I was honestly tilting pretty bad on this night, which is so imperfect of me because been running well. But that's what happens is we lose perspective when we start running bad in one session, and we're grizzled vets who are really desperate to fucking come up finally. You write fuck after a hand like this. And then I have pocket fours and I open and he calls me with 9-3. Maybe he's suited this time and he wins. Okay. And he has a massive stack now. This guy that bought him for $1,000 and open called the first hand. So just threw $5 out there. And he's been playing, you know, with a lot of heart is the best way to put it. And I wrote, I'm a fucking joke. I got fooled by making the best hand sometimes. So that's pathetic, right? And I can say that now, but in the moment, that's how I was feeling. And you know what? Some of you probably feel like that at the table. Like, I'm so unlucky. And then you like look at your phone and you got like a beautiful family or a beautiful girlfriend or a beautiful boyfriend or fucking, you were born into like privilege or whatever. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm a joke. What am I saying? I'm unlucky, right? Well, what's going on here? I wrote, I'm a fucking joke. Got fooled by making the best hand sometimes. So the poker PTSD comes back quick. And then I wrote, stupid. And then I hit return and I spaced it out. And then I wrote, negative. And I hit return and I spaced it out. And I hit story. And then I hit return twice again. And then I wrote, imperfect. So that's when I knew I was going to call this week, imperfect. Right? Because I played this session, you know, before I wrote it and recorded it. So it's also the first time I kind of tried to bend my phone in a long time. I used to try and break it, right? Well, I got a big iPhone 12 Plus or whatever the hell it's called. And I felt myself, you know, you gotta release tension or you're going to act crazy. And I guess releasing tension is acting crazy, but yeah, I don't know. I wasn't not my best session, right? And just running poorly and already abandoned some reads, starting with my worst play in part one where I actually won the pot. But still, that doesn't make me feel good if I played a hand bad. And now this gentleman, this Vietnamese dude with all the heart, he flops top pair and wins a nice pot with jack six. The guy's just in there with everything, winning every hand. And it's time for me. I can't even have them come over and put that scarlet letter money behind placard in front of me because I don't have enough money. I got to go to the ATM. And that's a walk of shame. I've made so many of these in my life. And it's fine. Yeah. And the max my ATM's gonna let me get out without going to the cage is $400. And I don't want to go to the cage. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to miss too much of this game. And I only brought $1,700 because, you know, I know that I'm prone to tilt, and I try and, like, you know, not, I try and have some bankroll management a little bit because I'm on stake, right? And I don't know, but I go there and I get $400 and pay the fees and whatever. So I'm in for three lives, and I think I maybe actually had another, you know, $100-$200 in my wallet. So I'm in for a little more than that. And wow, the guy that had chirping chips, remember he just called a button open, and then I squeezed a 160, and then he shipped it and I folded, and then he was so happy to win $200. He had chirping chips. Well, he gets coolered hard by HG, is this what we'll call this cool Vietnamese dude. And I wrote, it's not cosmic. It seems cosmic. There's one guy at the table running insane hot, and you know he's going to run hot in the next hand, and he does. So it seems cosmic, but it's not cosmic because, you know, he doesn't run hot all the time, but we don't remember that. Something. I don't know. But I also wrote that it seems like the guy with the chirping chips, that the cat got his tongue or whatever that expression is. He wasn't chirping after that hand where he got cooler and stacked by this Vietnamese dude. This all heart Vietnamese dude. Okay. And then they're talking about the hand, though, or the Vietnamese dude is talking. He's doing some hand analysis. He does this after he wins. And I just wrote, it makes me want to punch myself in the face. Not the most positive episode of Sessions ever, but probably not the darkest by any stretch either. It's just the fucking story, isn't it? Let's see what happens. Well, the next thing that happens is my worst play. Okay, so boyfriend number two straddles under the gun. Young Asian guy with a big leg, and it folds to me in the small blind. I have king four of clubs, and the boyfriend number two has $150, $153, and he punted off a bunch while I was getting money, while I was doing the walk of shame, and that's what he does. He's a punter, of course. And so I opened a 40 here with king four clubs in the small blind. I know I have no fold equity. I have king four clubs and stacks are whack. And, you know, I got on my left is the HG guy, and he's going to call, and then this guy's going to ship, and I'm going to be in there with king four. It's just a fold. And I opened it to 40, and then I'm never folding for the 153. And guess what happened? The HG guy called. That's the guy. It's just Vietnamese. He's not from HG, but he reminds me of HG. He calls the 40, and boyfriend number two ships it all in there. Like, I know he's going to, and we both call, right? And so it's just three-way, you know, gambling. I have king four of clubs, and the board runs out queen, queen, eight, nine, ten. So I don't make anything, right? I have king high. And boyfriend number two turns over ace seven offsuit. So for ace high, and neither me or the HG guy can beat him. No, fuck. But I really should have just folded. And if, you know, I'm more inclined to gamble when I'm stuck, obviously, just like any other human being. And I don't know. Someone opens the 40. It's 3-5-10. Someone opens the 40. I just flat with nines. They seem really strong. And I don't remember who it was. But the flop comes king 8-5. And this person bets. And I just fold my nines. And they went to showdown, and he had aces. So at least I didn't 3-bet with nines when I knew the guy was super strong, and I didn't get curious on the king 8-5 two-tone flop. I just folded, and he had aces. Okay. And what? Oh, I open king 10 of spades. Okay, it's a good hand. And we got four-way action. So we got $120 out there. And the flop comes down all diamonds. And so, in other words, with my king 10 of spades, I flopped. Sad but true. And what also is sad, I don't even know, it's not sad, it's just imperfect, is that I normally have some kind of caffeinated drink in front of me when I record these, and I'm taking my kids to the beach later, and I try to, what's it called, ration my caffeine intake on this day. I had one cup of coffee, but instead of having two and then being miserable and tired around them when I burn out, I decided to have one and then try and record this with water, and it was a mistake. It was very imperfect. And so I'm going to try and just get that normal energy I have when I have coffee in front of me. And I didn't need to tell you guys that, but I did, right? And also, the next note I wrote in my phone after I flopped nothing with King Ten of Spades is I wrote fudge. So maybe I was cooling down a little bit. I was toning down the curse words, and that's good. And then I fold for a while, and then I had to unfollow some people who were liking hate tweets on my timeline. It's true. I'm a very sensitive person, and I don't do well with negativity. I can handle darkness. I can handle, you want to talk about anything you're going through, I can handle it. Negative hate shit, I'm so sensitive to it. And so I said on my Twitter, I just follow whoever is a patron. I don't know. I just use Twitter for marketing. I would never have it if I didn't have a podcast. I wouldn't have any of that shit. But I had to unfollow some people who were liking hate tweets. And one of them, and someone reached out to me and said, what, something wrong? I said, no, like, we're good. But like, I can't have that on my timeline. Like, I guess the tweet was the one that like really just made me mad, I guess, was someone tweeted LeBron finishes playoff series like he finishes a book. And I know if you're a celebrity, you're a target. It goes, if you have all the money and all that, and all the fame, it goes with the territory. Sure, but that's just like the dumbest fucking tweet I've ever seen in my life. LeBron finishes playoff series like he finishes a book. Because the 7-seed Lakers lost to the 2-seed Suns, and Anthony Davis was out. And it's just, and the Suns are good, if you haven't noticed. And there's also just others. Just LeBron finishes playoff series like he finishes a book. It sounds so, it's just the cringiest tweet I've ever seen. And I'm sure the person who liked it is just supporting a friend or a follower or whatever, right? Like, I do that too. I sometimes just quickly like tweets, right? And just to be supportive. But that one just came off like, I started writing a reply to it, and just to not put my supporter on Front Street, to put whoever wrote that shit. It's just the dumbest shit I've ever seen. And it's got some real hater, bad negative tones to it. And I resisted from hitting tweet, but it's just the cringiest tweet I've ever seen. And so I had to unfollow whoever liked that tweet, 'cause I don't want to see shit like that. I don't know. It's just, I was being a baby, but I don't want negative. You want to be negative, take that. That's fine. Go ahead. I don't want any part of it. No. Ugh. Anyways, the man that reminded me of Hawaiian Gardens, I wanted to ask him, you know, you're from like Orange County, LA, right? And he said, no, he's from Oklahoma. Okay. I just, you know, I'm a reporter. So I put that in the phone, in my notes. And then he flopped the set in a 3-bet bloater. And then I wrote, okay, God, just stop. So I was getting a little spooked by this guy, how good he was running. Not the best player, but winning all the money. And then, but you know who's not winning all the money? His boyfriend number two. God, he just punting so hard. I wrote, he punts so hard, he reminds me of Darren Bennett. And that's one of the Chargers punters from the past. He was an Australian rules football guy, rugby or something like that. And they don't look alike, this Asian kid and Darren Bennett, but just, they really remind me of each other. Yeah. And then maybe this hand history will change your opinion of boyfriend number two. It's nice when you see a young guy that looks like he's going to be good, and he's just a stone cold punter, right? Well, we get it in preflop, and we've done this before. Well, I have pocket kings this time, and I show him to be cool because I know he's on the lighter side, even though this pot is about $600, right? So I just show right away. I think I three bet and he shoved and I called, right? And I just showed him to be cool. He's a nice kid. He shares a girlfriend with someone else, and that's okay. And the board comes Jack Jack X X X, and then he turns over his hand and he has Jack Four of Spades. So all in pre with Kings against Jack Four suited for about a $600 pot, and you know you're 84% there, and you lose. And then I wrote, it's definitely one of those motherfucking nights, which it is. And these, the thing about being a poker pro is you're going to have these nights. And if you have too many in a row, it's going to wreck you, set you back in many ways. It just is, right? And, but the thing is to bounce back from them and to get perspective and realize it's just one of those motherfucking nights where everything's going wrong. Like, people are binking on you all over. You're getting coolered. And now you get in with Kings against Jack 4, and you lose that too. Okay. And now it's my straddle, and they all limp. And I have King 10 of Diamonds, a good hand. I go to 80, and the gentleman from Oklahoma calls, who I thought was played at Hawaiian Gardens. Just everything about him reminded me of Hawaiian Gardens. And boyfriend number two calls the 80s. These guys are just limping and calling like bosses. And then the replacement makes a face, and I just know I already know what's going to happen. He's going to raise huge. He has a huge hand. He trapped me too. And he makes it like 480, just huge. And so, you know, obviously we're all going to fold. But you know who's not going to fold? The man from Oklahoma, the Vietnamese dude with all the heart. He's going to call the 400 more. Okay. And it comes deuce 3-4, and these guys are pretty deep. Deuce 3-4 with two hearts, and he checks, and the replacement, the middle-aged white guy with a going-out shirt on who took the seat of a grinder who didn't want to play when I sat down, he bets, and the man from Oklahoma goes all in for like 2,300. And the Mog, you know, with the going-out shirt on, doesn't like it, but calls. And he wins with, he's at the end, he says, "You're good." The man from Oklahoma says that to the replacement. And he has aces, and he wins a $4,500 plus pot, maybe 5K pot. Yeah, that's nice. Okay. And I get King 10 of Diamonds again. All right. And they, this time they limp in front of me, and I go to 60, right? In position with King 10 of Diamonds. And I get three calls, okay? And you know one of them is boyfriend number two. You know that. And the flop comes Jack 9-6, and it's black flop. And I have King 10 of Diamonds, but you also have a gut shot and an overcard here. And when they all check to me, I'm going to bet big in one time, probably. So there's 240, maybe 250 in the pot, and I go to, or maybe no, sorry, there's 240 before rake. I go to 140, which is a big sizing for me on a flop, right? I have King 10 of Diamonds on Jack 9-6, all black. Well, the boyfriend ships it in there, okay? This kid that I just doubled up, he's probably spewed off a little bit. He won that $600 pot with Jack 4 all in preflop against Kings. Well, he ships it in there, and the other two players fold. And so here I'm going to snap call it off, right? Especially against this guy. And it's almost best case situation. I did manage to get all the money with King High on the flop. When it's Jack 9-6 black, I have King 10 of Diamonds. So this is what a lag finds himself or herself in this spot, right? Like, oh, I'm all in here with King High. Well, I'm actually also good. I'm actually 75% to win because he has 10-8 offsuit, no flush draw. So he's open-ended, but one of his open-enders is no bueno. If it's queen, I make a better straight. He needs a seven or an eight, right? So I'm 75% against this guy. And he turns over his cards, and he's getting ready to leave. And you know, his girlfriend's, you know, sipping on her margarita like, oh, shit. You know, it's a good thing I got two boyfriends. One of them plays like this. And the turn's an X, and the river is an eight. And kid wins again. So I have nub stack at this point, and I'm not going to sit here with $200 or whatever. So it's time for me to call it a night, call it a session. It's time for me to take the L. I don't have any more money. And it's just, I have run very poorly. I've not played well for my standards. And but that's not, you know, just when you get the money in good, and I like everything about this hand, right? They limp. I go to 60 with a good hand in position. It comes Jack 9, 6, black. Doesn't matter. No one seems like they have anything. I'm going to size up here and fold out some fringe shit and set up a check on the turn if I need to. And God, maybe I could bink something and stack someone. Who knows? And anyways, the kid ships it with 10-8 offsuit. And yeah, he's open-ended, but he's in a lot of trouble. And because one of his straight draws is no good for him. And he wins again. Same kid who got it in with Jack 4, which is, you know, I had 84% in that one, 75% in this one. And just, and when you hear me talking about my equity and losing, you know, I'm a little too focused on variance. And, you know, I'm just being imperfect. Imperfect. I don't even know how to say the word correctly. Imperfect. But, yeah, I played it 4 hours and I lost 3 lives. Okay. And now let's, you know, we're going to head back to the Venetian Sportsbook, where I was before this session started, when the Lakers, I mean LeBron, lost game 6 to the Suns. Okay, come with me to cash out real quick. There, I got to cash out this little nub stack. Okay, here you go. Yeah, I know, it's not a lot tonight, but what can you do? It's poker. Okay, now walk with me through this little tourney area back here, and let's go check the STP scores in the Sportsbook. Okay. Okay, now don't look under NBA. We don't need to talk about that anymore, ever. Look under STP. All right, you see the first line under STP up there. It says hours, 236 of 230. So we're ahead of pace, barely, and that makes sense because we had 230 hours after week 22, and I played 6 more in week 23, 4 in the very imperfect session you just heard about. And 2 in the first session I played this week, where I actually had a lot of fun at the table. And if you want to hear about that session where I had a lot of fun and or all 700 or so drops of sessions in total, whenever you want, you can do so by getting your own RSS feed at patreon.com/DJFPokerPlayer for $4.22 a month or more. And it's just very easy. Signing up is easy, and connecting the RSS feed that you get instantly is easy. And then if you want to join the community, that's easy as well. You go to djafcommunity.com. Shit. Sorry. And you just create a screen name and a password. And if you're an active patron, once your first payment goes through, it lets you in. And then it's like having a 2+2 with no nits, no trolls. Just, and then if you're, you know, if you sign up for 844, I automatically email you an invite to DGAF Slack group. And that's, I think that's just a click on the email and you're in. Anyways, yeah, it's just, if you want to hear about that session where I had fun, and if you want the whole story, or you just want, you know, stuff to fall asleep to for the next, you know, 700 nights or whatever. Okay, look up there under STP. The second line says poker eggs, 553 of 423. So that's the strongest line on this scoreboard for sure under this section. And let's hear who scored points for us in week 23, who the MVP was, and who got employee of the week. So a patron named Matthew in Camas, Washington got us a point. Thank you, Matthew. Jeremy, another patron in Plano, Texas, got us a point. Thank you, Jeremy. Hope you're doing well, man. Chili Dog in Vista, California, not too far from this granny flat that I'm in right now, got us a point and got a gift for someone that works at a casino that's going to rep poker eggs. It's just cool shit. A new patron named Sleeft in Jefferson, Maryland, got us 3 points. Thank you, Sleeft. Silent Sound Guy. You know, you sound. This guy commutes every single day from Modesto, California, down to, you know, San Marcos, California, to this granny flat. And he's the reason the sound's so good, and usually when he's not drinking too much. And anyways, he got us 3 points. Thank you, sound. I don't need to say it in the mic. I can say thank you. We appreciate it. And then it's time for your week 23 most valuable purchaser. your week 23 MVP from Las Vegas, Nevada, is none other than Patron Rittman with 6 points. Thank you very much, Ritty, a.k.a. Rittman. You're a hell of a customer, a hell of a supporter, and hopefully a hell of a golfer, because we're golfing soon. Okay, so we got 15 points put on the board this week in week 23, and that's solid. It's not amazing, but it's solid. And if you see up there, it says Employee of the Week DGAF, and it says only Patron's ordering. So that is true that all these orders did come from Patron's, and in order for us to be a legit company, we need to get orders from people who've never even heard of Sessions, right? Because our product is good, and people love the designs when they see them, but we just got to get it out there. And also, if you're in content and listening right now, let me be the model of how to like sell some shit, right? Some merchandise. What you just gotta, you know, be true in your content, and then people will give you feedback on what they think of when they think of your content, and then you got to be open to some branding and using some stuff you use a lot as designs, and you you get creative and get people that support you to buy it by having a scoreboard, something like that, right? And then I had a goal, and I'm just letting you guys in on some shit. I had a goal in one of our Poker Rags meetings to sell a bunch of nothing designs, you know, items with nothing on it. That's our missing friend Sinead O'Connor's face, and then it says nothing below it. And so what I did was I gave more points on the scoreboard for that for a while, and then I also had an episode called Nothing with a, you know, special guest, Marley, and you can just do stuff like that. You know, you don't have to be huge. I'm not huge. You just have to be creative. And if you're in content, you're fucking creative. So it's nice. I won Employee of the Week. Thank you, Nevada Gaming Commission. And thanks to everyone that put points on the board this week towards a fifth season of Sessions next year, which will be different than this one. But anyways, you all are literally part of the story. And if you listening would like to become part of the story too, by putting some points on the board to hopefully keep this thing going. Like I said, it's going to be very poker heavy next year. It's going to be all Sessions. Finally, a podcast called Sessions is just going to be Sessions. And it's going to be pushing the envelope, if that's the way you say it, of playing as high as I can and playing, you know, focused and just really going after everyone. Yeah. And if you want to, you know, put points on the board towards hopefully hearing about that, and or you just want the most comfortable clothing on the fucking planet, it's true. Head over to pokerags.us and just fucking click away. You deserve it. You only live once, you know, but you can click many times. Okay. And anything you order from Sessions, including the Cine design, the Nothing design, puts 2 points on the board instead of one. Okay. Now look up there. The third line under STP says results 60 of 47. So that's one win and one loss in this imperfect week, right? And so I won the session that the Patrons heard about, and I lost this one. And now I'm 33-13 on the year. Okay, so it's about what I expected, but we're ahead of pace at this point. All right, now look, the fourth score under STP says Patrons, 188 of 230. So that's bad. Oh, wow. Let me tell you what happened this week. Someone from that was at $16.88 went to $4.22 a month. And that's the ask. So that's appreciated. And I, you know, I don't lose 4 points. When you go down, you know, say you had everything in fucking Bitcoin and it shits the bed, and you need to go down. Well, as long as you don't cancel, I don't lose points. And that's my ask anyways, is $4.22. And then I just... all the other tiers have so many perks that it's kind of, you know, whatever. I don't have to explain it again right now. But someone went from 1688 to 422. And then Toaster Oven 2 went from the ask of 422 to 844, putting Toaster Oven 2 on Slack, which is social media that doesn't make you cringe, right? And then Sleeft came in with a straddle. And I said that was wrong. It's spleefed. Fucking shit. I thought sleeved didn't make any sense. It's spleefed, which, I don't know. Came in with a straddle. 4 points. Thank you, spleefed. And that was one of the people who ordered from Poker Eggs this week. And then Telos, my man, the philosopher from the Midwest, was at $17.76 a month, and he went to $20 a month. So he gave me a raise, and then and those are always appreciated. And then Average Size Robert was at $27 a month, and he went to the top tier of $51 a month. Holy shit. Thank you so much, Average Size Robert. And so this week, we got 4 points. And I think since we're in week 23 and the pace is 230, we need to get 10 a week, and we're way behind. I have to get more creative. So I just said that if you want to sell merchandise, you got to be creative. Well, if I want to get more patrons, I got to be creative too. I think the community is worth signing up for alone, the meetups, and I think the content's good, and it's worth it. I just got to be more creative. So that's on me. All right. And now, for the score, if you look up there, the fifth and final line under STP, it's the consolidation of the four scores you just heard about, and it's called Countdown to 2022, because if we score 2,022 points total by the cutoff, December 19th of this year, Sessions does, in fact, live on in the year 2022, and that's going to be, I already know what it's going to be called. The theme is going to be called The Return, and it's going to be my return to high stakes, and I'm going to, I don't know, we'll see what happens, but I'm gonna be focused, okay, and anyways, the score, it says 10:37 of 9:30, so we're 100 points ahead of pace, 107, and that's good, right? I love podcasting. I want to keep this alive. It's a huge time commitment, but it's something I love. And if I could pay my bills through it, that'd be amazing. And I'm getting there. I don't have enough patrons, but the ones I have are insanely generous. And I don't know, but we're on pace to have a Sessions 5 called The Return. And we're 46% of the way through our journey. So that's good. I just got to get more creative, getting more patrons, and we got to get Poker Eggs rolling again. We need to have orders coming in from people who've never heard of me or Sessions. And hopefully, the work we're doing on social media will help with that. I don't know. Before we say our goodbyes, I want to give a special thank you to everyone who has put points on this board, this Save the Princess scoreboard, in this Make or Break Season 4. And a very special shout out to all the patrons, of course, for their continued support. You all are something, and I'll see you all on Monday, and I'll see the rest of you on Thursday with another, actually, you know what, it's going to be Friday, the session review is going to be Friday next week, it's okay, but if you're a patron, you'll have something Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. If you're not, you'll just have something on Friday, and it'll be a session I play, okay, and whether you are a patron or not, whether you listen to Sessions, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday usually, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. How did I do today, sound guy? Was I perfect? I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. He's gotta be sure, he's gotta be soon, and he's gotta be larger than life. Larger than life? I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise,